The book of the Revelation and chapter 1, verse 5. Now John is speaking concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He says of Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. And the Lord will bless the further reading of his precious word. In this chapter, as John is writing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the things which he saw, he is really giving us eyewitness news, isn't he? He is writing concerning the things which he has seen. And as he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks of the one who is eternal. It says concerning him, verse number 8, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the Almighty. And so he is giving to his readers an understanding that the Lord Jesus is the one who is eternal. And therefore he is speaking concerning the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Also, not only does he touch on things that are eternal, but he also speaks about the one who is coming in judgment. And that's found in verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And he is there telling us that it is the right of the Lord Jesus to move in such a way, that he is going to move in judgment. But they are not the only things that John is speaking about in Revelation chapter 1. John also tells us concerning the Lord Jesus, who has died for our sins. And that's in the verse number 5 that we have read together. In this text, in this verse of scripture, we have a revelation to us, and this scripture is a summary of all the scripture. This text in the Bible summarizes the truth of the Bible. And we have a revelation to us of the Godhood of Jesus Christ. For our verse says, as John would almost break out in song, and it's a lovely thing to sing, especially when it's spontaneous, when it just comes forth from an overflowing heart, it's a lovely thing to sing and to make praises and to sing praises unto God. And John almost is bursting forth in a grand song of praise as he says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins and hath made us kings and priests unto our God and Father. He says then, as he goes on, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And John is saying that here is a mention, that we might grasp hold of it, a mention of the Godhood of Jesus Christ. Why is it there? Well, it's the right of God to forgive sins. You see, the Pharisees in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ had that problem. They knew perfectly that it was God's right, and only God's, to forgive sins. So when the Lord Jesus comes along, and in their eyes he was just Jesus of Nazareth, when the Lord Jesus comes along and says to a man, or says to a woman, thy sins be forgiven thee, immediately the red lights go on. Because here is one that is taking the place of God. Here is one that is acting as only God can act. He is taking the right that God has to forgive sins. And so they ask, who can forgive sins but God only? And what their minds could not accept was the fact that Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, is God, though manifest in flesh. And so John is saying here, we have a revelation to our souls of the Godhood of Jesus Christ. Because he has washed us, he has forgiven us, he has loosed us from our sins. Now I know that John is putting himself alongside of those that are the saved of the Lord. And he's saying that he has washed us from our sins. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that has done that. And he is taking the right of Godhood in that he forgives sins, in that he cleanses from sins. And so we have a revelation of the Godhood of Jesus Christ. It is said concerning God, long time before ever John took up his pen, it is said in the days of Moses, when the children of Israel were in bondage and under hard labor down in Egypt, God said that he looked down upon them and he saw their affliction and he heard their cry and he was coming down to deliver them. Now that's what Jesus Christ has done. He has seen the affliction of mankind. And we've been reminded already this evening of the reason for that affliction. Why it is that mankind suffers this evening. It's because of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all sinned. And that's the reason for the affliction and the sorrow and the sadness and the sickness and so many things in this old world of ours. Because sin has come in, but Jesus Christ has come down to deliver us. By his death on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has displayed the marvelous, great love of God. And that he has died for our sins. A revelation of the Godhood of Jesus Christ. But that's not all John has to say. As he is taking this text and really giving us a summary of the teaching of the scripture, he also reveals to us something of the goodness of Jesus Christ. For it says that he loved us. That's what my brother has been about this evening. Telling us something of the heart of the Lord Jesus in that he has loved us. True love always gives. It does. True love always gives. It never demands. It always gives. God loved the world. How do I know it? Because he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus loved me. How do I know it? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. True love always gives. And here we have, unto him that loved us. This is the love of the Lord Jesus revealed to us in that he has died at Calvary's cross. You know, it said concerning the God of heaven that he created all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I read through my Bible and I come to the book of the Psalms, long time after the creation of God, when he brought all things into existence and he gave man his life and he placed him in the fairness of Eden's garden. And after the sin of man that has brought humanity into that fallen condition, it says in the Psalms that God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God, and there was none. God was looking down upon the sons of men. But then in John chapter 3, we find that though God has looked down and seen the condition of man and seen the enmity in his heart, and has seen his waywardness from God, still he loves him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And after so long a time, when God has moved in the wonders of his grace toward mankind through many differing time periods, and at last giving them the law through Moses and bringing them up to the point of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the writer to the Hebrews can now say that after all those times, God has spoken unto us in his Son. How has God spoken? God has spoken in that Christ has come. In the fulfillment of all that was spoken concerning him, and in the life that he has lived, to the honour and praise and glory of God, and in the death that he has died at Calvary. There is revealed the fact that God loves us, and in the verse that the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us with a great love. The story is told concerning a boy and his father in World War II, across in America. And it was a custom in the town where they lived, whether it was right across the country, I don't know. But in the town where they lived, it was a custom that if a son from a household was given to the war and lost his life, then a star was placed in the window. And this father and his boy are walking down the street. And the son asked reason of the father why the star was in the window. And the father told the boy that from that house a son had gone to war and had given his life in the warfare. The star meant a son was given. And so they move on down the street, and another star is seen in the window. And at last they move out past the high rise of the buildings. And the boy is still looking up, and he sees a star in the sky. And he says, "Father, was there a son given from up there?" And the father, who was a Christian, was able to say to his boy, just like the star in the window told the fact that a son had been given in the war, a star in the sky told of a son that had been given from up there. The Lord Jesus Christ had come because there was a God in heaven who had loved the world and had given his Son. But that same Jesus came because he loved us. It says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins." There's a revelation of the goodness of Jesus Christ. But John's not finished yet. He also tells us that in this verse, there is a revelation to us of the gift of Jesus Christ. What he's able to give. It says that he has washed us, loosed us, forgiven us of our sins. My, that's a gift worth having. It's not something that is worked for. Because if I could work or do something for the gift of God and know that my sins were forgiven, then I would be the first, and you wouldn't be far behind me, in boasting about what we had done. It's natural in the heart of man. It comes into the heart of every man and every woman, boy and girl, that way to boast about what they can do or what they have done. We all like to be able to say what we can do. And we all like to be able to say what we will do. And if we could work to gain God's salvation and the washing away of our sins, then we'd be the first to make boast about how much we had done. That's why God just set that aside. Knowing the reasoning of the natural heart of man, he set it aside and said unmistakably in his word, "By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, because men would boast." And so here we have a revelation to us of the gift of Jesus Christ. He is able to give us the release from the bondage of sin. And so John is able to lift his voice as he looks heavenward and say, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And we all can say, Amen. The gift of Jesus Christ. It is in His own blood. There we are brought to the foot of Calvary's cross. There we are brought to an understanding that the great reason why the Lord Jesus has come, and that's what has already been emphasized this evening, the great reason for the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ is just this, that He might die at Calvary's cross. The one who came to give Himself a ransom for all, to pay a price in His own blood, to die, to give His life in order that we might live, are the wonders of the movement into this world of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have this wondrous gift that's on offer this evening to the people of Goodna and to the people of the world, that they might know with John and with many others that their sins have been washed away, that they have been forgiven. But John gives us something more now. Not only does he give us an understanding of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and touches upon the very fact of his Godhood, and not only does he show us the heart of the Lord Jesus revealed in his absolute goodness, in that he has thought upon us and has moved for us and has worked for us and has done all for us in his death at Calvary, and so that he now says that we're able to have freely the gift that is on offer from the Lord Jesus Christ, but he gives us guarantee. There's a revelation in the scripture and in this verse of the guarantee of Jesus Christ. What does it say concerning him? It says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and John is blending his voice with many others as he offers tribute of praise to the Lord Jesus and says, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's he saying? He is saying that because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that carries with it the potential for lordship over all men. And because of that lordship, he's the one that is going to move in universal dominion. And it's guaranteed because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection, and that's historical. We're not looking at something now prophetical. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is to us historical. It has already happened. The Lord Jesus has died. Wicked hands took him. The scripture says that. Wicked hands took the Lord Jesus and lifted him upon a cross. Loving hands took him down. I see a Joseph of Arimathea. I see a Nicodemus. Loving hands taking down the body of the Lord Jesus and laying him in that new hewn tomb. Joseph of Arimathea's own tomb. Laying the body, having been wrapped around with a linen cloth and the spices, and laid in the new tomb, and the stone rolled across the doorway. There the Lord Jesus is laid by loving hands. They that had known his saving grace. Wicked hands nailed him to a tree. Loving hands laid him in a tomb. But it was the hand of God that raised him up from the dead and has taken him right up into the very presence of the Majesty on high. And he sat down at the right hand of God. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is historical. It's a fact that has happened. And the evidence of it is multiplied in the scripture. And so Paul, in writing, could say that Christ is risen, and emphatically say it, that Christ is risen indeed from the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees universal dominion. Unto him be glory, dominion and glory forever and ever. Amen. But that being so, Resurrection guarantees the rule of Christ. But that rule of Christ guarantees that I'm with him. And all who have trusted him as Saviour are going to move with the Lord Jesus Christ in that day of triumphant reigning. And so John is saying that because the glory and the dominion is coming to him and it will be forever, so those that have been washed from their sins will know and are guaranteed that reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this verse there's a revelation to us of the guarantee of Jesus Christ. The salvation that the Lord Jesus has is 100% pure. And it's 100% sure. There's not too many things you can get today that are 100% pure. And there's not too many guarantees that you can get that are 100% sure. But here's something that is 100%. The salvation of God through Jesus Christ is 100% guaranteed to those who will trust him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's guaranteed. And so here we have that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is going to move in might and glory and triumph. And where no other man has moved, he's going to move with universal reign and glory and dominion. And those that know him as Saviour are associated with him eternally. That brings us to a point now, doesn't it? Having examined the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is my response to him? We can be honest this evening. God knows our hearts. Openness and honesty is demanded in the presence of God. What is my response to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? What this evening will I do with him? Shall I trust him as my Saviour, knowing that on Calvary he died for me? Shall I look forward with glad anticipation to that day of triumphant glory and reigning with him? Because in a moment time upon earth, I knew what it was to have my sins washed away in his own blood. Or shall I reject him this evening? Maybe like I've done so many times before, and go away, and know not the salvation of God, and know not my sins forgiven. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Can I this evening, can you, lift your voice in praise and adoring wonder, and say concerning him, unto him, that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Can I say that of a truth, rejoicing in his salvation? May it be so, that you can this evening, and that for his name's sake.